Hey, this episode has three sponsors, and I want to make sure I get them in. You know, first off, Andy's retreat, Andy Slammons of Amazing Freedom, the retreat in Florida this year is going to be unbelievable. If you've been thinking about private label, this is the event. There's five slots left, last I checked. Amazing house, all the food, everything's included. You've got to get there. Once you're there, you want for nothing but to learn. You want to grow your business. If you've been thinking about ramping up private label, this is the kind of place to be because you're going to go through some exercises to help figure out why products are the right products to choose. Some of the people at the last event actually used some of the products we found, and it was a group think, which is pretty cool because then you get to see, well, why did you think of that? And then you get to bounce off each other and build on it. So great event. If you're interested in any way, just private message me and I'll forward the information to you. Second sponsor is Scope from Seller Labs. I mean, Jeff and the guys there, they have this program. Now, I'm using it personally for one of my It's interesting. I'm using it for my private label product, but I'm also using it for a wholesale product that I brought to market. So I have exclusive rights to sell it. And what was so cool is I had to come up with the keywords. And it's like, boom, go right in, find the product that we're competing against, the number one product, as a matter of fact, and number two, and find out what keywords they're using, and then pop that into the listing, and boom, takes off. That's what's so important. It's just going to help you get there. So you know it's from Seller Labs. You know you can trust it. The other thing is tracking your keywords. You know, you'll see a lot of people talking about, hey, you should be tracking your keywords, and then you can see how effective, and then doing some split testing. Well, Scope does that for you. So if you go to the website, it's Scope, use the code Momentum. You're going to be able to get some savings off the annual price. It's really worth it. Check it out. There's a free trial. And again, since it's from Seller Labs, you know the quality. Third, but certainly not last, is Karen Locker's Solutions for E-Commerce. You know, you've heard me say it before. She is my account manager. She has been now since I interviewed her first, so way long, much longer than a year. Love it, love it, love it. Just got through long-term storage fees. Boom, send her a note. They send me a list. Pick yes, do this, do that. Boom. Stuff gets stranded. I notice it. I see it on the bottom right of the dashboard, and then magically it disappears. I never get involved. Magic. Somebody does it. Well, guess what? It's Karen and her team. And we were chatting earlier, and she is raising her prices because she's changing her packages, and it's sometime in September. But I asked her, I said, hey, can people lock in now? And she said, well, yes. So if you've been thinking about it, you need to lock in and lock in now. She's not going to hold the price, and you can't blame her. I mean, she's got demand. She's doing a lot of brand stuff. What's cool, though, is she's now working on Shopify stuff, too. So she has her own site, and so she's become an expert at it. So guess what? She's going to be handling my Shopify store very shortly. She also can create eBay listings for you if you've been thinking about that, too. So I had a product, this new product from the wholesale company you heard me mention earlier. Well, guess what? I think there are 52 variations of the one. Boom. Gave her the title that I wanted. I gave her some of the things that I did the keyword research. Gave it to her. Magically, it showed up. And as a matter of fact, it showed up the next day for me. So it was a really great thing. So the only way you're going to get the best price is you have to go through my link. And remember, Karen pays me, so I don't want to hide that. However, you do get to save if you use my link. And she's also still doing the inventory health report. So lock in your price. You got to do it right away. Not guaranteeing by the time this comes out that it's still not going to be available. But check. Momentum is the code that you need to use. Check the website. I've got the link for it. Solutions for e-commerce.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 229, Stephen Smotherman. Stephen was on a little over 2 years ago. I cannot believe it's been that long since I've had Stephen on the show. But what's so cool, it's just so cool, and we spent quite a bit of time talking in this first segment about it, is his business is relatively the same, and it's because of his why. Now, relatively the same. He'll tell you the number of SKUs he reduces and all that kind of jazz, and he's fine-tuned a whole bunch of things, outsourced a bunch, yet his why has stayed exactly the same. He's been full-time for over 5 years, living a life intentionally, and I just love it. And he's such a great guy and so informative. Writes a blog, fulltimefba.com, and I'll have links to all that. But let's get into the podcast. Maureen, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. I am blown away with this guest because we haven't talked in 2 years. It is crazy. More than 2 years. Mm-hmm. Stephen was episode number 4. Is that crazy? Number 4. And now you'll be almost 230, I think it is, or something like that. Is that crazy?
That's awesome.
Stephen Smotherman. Welcome, Stephen.
It's good to be here, Stephen. And from one Stephen to another, I really appreciate being here to hang out with you and to talk e-commerce. And this is my favorite e-commerce related podcast, and I'm just it's an honor to be back.
The honor is mine and the listeners, because if they don't know who you are, they need to go back and listen to episode number 4. And back then, you know, Stephen tells a tale. I mean, he's had some challenges in his life, but he's made the most of it. And most importantly, in his it was two things. It was his relationship with his second wife and his relationship with his kids. And I'm not putting them in order, but that was it. Those were the absolutes for you. And I remember how strong it was. And you wanted to go full-time to be able to do all those things. And it's 2 years later, 2 years and some months. Is that still number one and number two? And is it working?
Absolutely. It's still at the top of my list of what is driving me. It's the why behind all of the things that I do. Just being able to work from home and be able to spend more time with my wife, more time with my kids. I don't have to worry about trying to find things for the kids to do or to pay someone else to watch them. I can just work from home and be able to spend time with them. And not only that, but include them. And as they're getting older, they've been able to take on, my kids have been able to take on some more responsibilities within what used to be my business. And then it was my wife and I's business. And now it's the family business. We're all working together and I'm trying to raise my own little entrepreneurs now.
You know, it for somebody to hear this, so you've got a family, is it 4 or 5?
I've got 4 boys, and so with my wife,
six of Jesus. Us. Wow. Almost a baseball team. All right, so the 6 of you, you've been full-time, well, at least the 2 years and change since we've last talked.
Yes.
Full-time. Have you ever thought about getting a job? Has it gotten to the point where you're like, I don't know if this is going to work, or has your intentional living, and I know the answer, has your intentional living paid off knowing that you probably had to forgo some stuff?
I am absolutely loving working, selling stuff on Amazon and building this type of business. And I honestly, in fact, I even talked to my wife, Rebecca, about this a few days ago. I don't know if I could go back to a, quote, normal job.
You're unemployable. Oh, no.
I'm unemployable to the fullest. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, I just hope people hear to get encouraged. Now, let's be honest. It isn't always easy, correct?
That's right. It's definitely difficult. And I'm actually glad it's difficult because, you know, provides me with opportunities to set myself apart from my competition. When things get difficult, I have the option to either complain, but I've realized that's not profitable. The best option is to learn, adjust, pivot, and grow. And so I think when things get difficult, it weeds out those who are not committed to the end result or may not really be connected to their why, about why they're actually doing what they're doing. And it just makes it better off for the rest of us who are committed and know the end result that we are seeking, which is either, freedom financially, freedom when it comes to the time and the life that you spend. And we're still committed to that.
You know, sitting here listening to you, I'm thinking about, you know, these last 2 years have been crazy. The differences in Amazon have just been, there's some night and day differences, right? There are fundamental major differences. And yet, you know, if you persevere, right, and it's not easy for any of us, and even the guys who make it look so easy, it's not easy. It's just that they put, you know, the processes, or they stumble and fix, adjust, pivot is your term. Mm-hmm. Looking back 2 years ago, what's different about your business today versus then?
Well, you mentioned how much things have changed, and, you know, there's a lot in work, you know, when you have an Amazon business, there's a lot that changes that's out of your control. And so Amazon changes a rule, they change a guideline, they make something more difficult, they tighten their constraints on certain, whether it's a brand or a certain category or something like that. And so when those things change and become more difficult, I realize, okay, that's something that's out of my control. What are the things that I can change that are in my control? And I start to realize, okay, while certain things about Amazon have gotten worse, there are a lot of things about Amazon that have gotten better, whether it's new programs and tools that have been created, whether it's new information that you can use to make a better sourcing decision, whether it's, you know, certain types of outsourcing that's available that wasn't available as much 2 years ago. There's so many things that, while some aspects of selling on Amazon have gotten worse, there are a ton of stuff that have gotten better and are answers to those questions, solutions to those problems that are out there. And so we try to focus on what we can control and make sure we're choosing the right programs to use, the right outsourcing, and to be able to continue to find that growth.
You know, last time we talked, I don't believe your wife was in the business full time at that point. I don't believe so.
Right. Yeah, she was doing a little bit part time on the side.
Right.
And now she's like right there with me doing it full time. We are both spending. It's funny. We're both spending part time hours, but we're both able to pull in a full time income with selling on Amazon, so much that we have the free time to be able to do you know, the full time FBA blog and put together ebooks and resources and YouTube videos, and so it's like you know, it's a perfect little combination there.
You know, how do you identify the roles? I mean, your skill set. So you were the expert for a while. She comes in, and I'm sure she came in with skills that you didn't have or don't have.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
How do you figure that out? Because, I mean, for me, giving up some control of something that I've been doing it so long my way, and then have somebody else come in and, you know, naively ask, well, why are you doing it that way? And then you're like, it's painful to hear. And lots of times they're right. How do you guys work that out?
Well, it's a process. I mean, when I first started selling on Amazon and first started introducing the ways that I sell on Amazon to my wife, I would take her to garage sales and thrift stores with me, and I'd take her to do some retail arbitrage with me. And she was like, you know, this is, you know, it's okay for you, I get it, but I'm just not feeling it. And then she got into online arbitrage and she really connected with that. And she was like, I totally get this. And
why though? What was it for her that connected? Just trying to see if that would help another couple. What was it that she saw there?
I think she just saw the potential of online arbitrage. The fact that, you know, she's not what were the things that she didn't like about retail arbitrage or wholesaling and thrifting was driving around town, being gone most of the day, putting the wear and tear on the car, and honestly, quite honestly, being separated from each other. I mean, we're one of those few couples that I think, you know, we spend all day together, all night together. We're with each other all the time, and we're surviving. It's and not only that, thriving with our marriage. And I know a lot of couples, they would prefer to be separated during the day, doing their own work. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but we've been able to find something that works for both of us, because my strength is still retail arbitrage, her strength is online arbitrage, and so we try to complement each other instead of compete with one another.
Yeah, what would make so your marriage is, it really enhances it. I think a lot of fear is people don't have filters with their spouses or their family like they do, you know, well, some people don't have filters on Facebook, but when you're at a social event, you put your filters in, right? Everybody has them. What happens with this scenario where a couple who probably don't have filters, the thought of them working together and being together virtually 24/7, that's kind of scary. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Because when you can go for work, you can just, you know, forget it, and you go to your job, and then you come back home, and you know, you gotten away from it. Now you got to go back. Is there anything, any advice you can give? I mean, to me, it's a respect issue, right? I think it starts there.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I just wonder why it's working so well for you, and why, what would others need to do to make it work for them? Maybe that's a good question.
That is a really good question, because yeah, it does come down to respect and also patience. Just because Rebecca and I have been able to make it work doesn't mean that I think everyone can. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses, and so I think having the strength of being patient and trying to look at things from a bigger perspective instead of just the usually. I mean, we're built to the core to be selfish. You know, we come out into the world, you know, just crying, feed me, and just we're wanting something right from the beginning. And so I think that Rebecca and I both have the understanding that to make this work, we need patience, we need selflessness, and we need to have a big picture perspective where we're able to maybe put aside some of our differences so that we can do what's best for our family business as a whole. And so when there's times where maybe I'm doing too much retail arbitrage and I'm gone too much, and she's like, hey, I miss hanging out with you. Or if she's doing some online arbitrage and she hasn't, you know, looked online in a few days or maybe even a week, you know, there's times where I can be like, you know, hey, what's going on? Is there anything I can do to help take a load off so you can have more time to do some sourcing online? And so we try to do our best to find that balance. Are we perfect? No, we mess up a lot. But I think we both have the perspective of, okay, what can we do to learn from our mistakes so that we can move forward and grow, and you know, always making sure that we're expressing our love. We understand and know each other's love languages as best as we can.
That's a good one.
And so that's a big deal.
You know, I was just thinking as you were talking, I was thinking about my son who's in from college, getting ready to go back, and he's doing some listings and some stuff. We took on somebody else's eBay account to help. Mm. And his process, he didn't, you know, identify the task, and said, here's what you got to do, and here's how to do it, kind of gave him the freedom. And then I was a little disappointed with the result. And it's like, wait a second. And so rather than, you know, yell at him or whatever, it's like, wait, let me, you know, I'm going to take responsibility. I should have clarified, because I had already made the mistake he had made, which was an organization issue. Mm. And I didn't think to teach him that. So how can I hold him responsible, right? And so that patience of pulling back and saying, hey, buddy, here's what's happened. And I'm thinking of a marriage, but here's this has happened to me before. So don't get frustrated. I've been there. Here's how I fixed it. And then now, as you apply that, that's more the most important lesson is when you do it the next time, you apply those lessons. I think that you know, I'm not the most patient person. And so when my wife is coming in to learn a new task, a lot of times I'll have my son do it just because it doesn't cause the friction. Now, how about your kids? How are you bringing them in? I mean, is it the same approach, just basically patience and understanding and looking? I love the phrase, looking at the big picture. That little mistake is not going to affect the big picture, correct?
Right. And, you know, with the kids, as they're getting older, they're able to do, you know, a lot more. You know, I trust my kids now more with the shrink wrap and with the poly bagging. Mm. And I trust them more with other aspects of the business. And so, but yeah, it's still the same type of respect and love. And I didn't talk about this when it comes to my relationship with my wife, but you know, we don't just kind of point out the negative things that need to be fixing. We also celebrate the wins.
Yeah.
So with my wife and with my kids, when I'm interacting with them, to be able to, you know, to learn something new or to correct a mistake, we also want to celebrate the wins and encourage that, and it goes really far.
Yeah. Did you do one wrong or 99 right? Right. I mean, that's really the question, right? You did. Yeah. One wrong or 99 right. And I think, you know, that there are times I would have said, hey, you got that wrong. As you say, not recognizing that you got 99 right. Hey, let's adjust for that second one. There's a way. All right. Let's do this. Let's take a break. And we come back, I want to talk about helping people move forward, because I think, you know, you write a great blog. I mean, a very detailed blog, probably one of the most detailed blogs out there on FBA, and very honest, very open, very candid. And I see people quoting it all the time. Hey, look at this, and sharing it. So that tells you something, that they're getting value from it. So I want to use that to springboard to help people move forward. You know, Q4 is coming, and right now is still time to prepare and start getting things right if they weren't working, right? So can we do that?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Cool. Be right back. Two great new sponsors in this episode. I'm really excited about it. First up is GoDaddy. And you know, what I love about GoDaddy, because they are who I use to find domains, is I love going to their site, popping in, hey, what about this one? What about this one? And it says, well, it's not a .com, but it's a .store, or it's a .co, or it's a .org, or whatever, right? But it's like right there. You have instant information. And then when you make the purchase, boom, bang, they make it easy. I do some other registration things. And it's very inexpensive. And I get a monthly report that tells me, here's your activity for the domains you own, because I own a lot of them. If you're building a brand, you need to own the domain. I mean, that's just like, duh, right? You shouldn't take that name if you can't, or a modified version of it, you know. And we've all seen that, where it's like, you go put in what you think is going to be the product you're looking for, and up comes something else. And you're like, what? Don't be in that position. So GoDaddy has a deal. It's just GoDaddy.com/momentum. And you too can save 30%. 30%. It's awesome. It's who I use. I recommend them. And the second new sponsor is Grasshopper. Yeah, Grasshopper. They are a virtual phone service. So, you know, I don't know about you, but we don't have a home phone, so we use our cell phones for everything, right? So our business phone is a cell phone. And it's just not the most professional, because I don't know if it's my mom calling me or another business, and you don't know how to answer it, right? Your voicemail message isn't clear. So guess what? Throw this app on your phone, and now all of a sudden you have a business phone without having to carry two, without having to pay additional cell phone charges just to have a plan, just to have another phone, right? This allows you to get rid of that. What's great too is you can have extensions. So you can press 1 for sales, 2 for customer service. Oh, and that number 2 can go to your assistant, and they can have their own message on there too. And it's just, all of a sudden you become a professional company. You appear much larger than what you are, yet the cost is minimal, right? Now they're giving you $50 off if you sign up. trygrasshopper.com/momentum. That's trygrasshopper.com. Save $50. Raise your business to that level, that professional level. Little app on your phone. Man, it's so cool. trygrasshopper.com/momentum. Isn't that a cool story? You can go full-time in this business, and Stephen is living proof that you can go full-time. Now, you've got to be intentional, and you got to work on, I love the way we're talking about working on the buy muscle in this segment. And I think there's some real value here. If you can do this, if you can get sharper, it gets easier. If you take that extra time you save and invest it in your health, your relationships, your mental health, you've now built an intentional life. And to me, that's what it's all about. You know, selling is great. Love it. Money's great. However, it will not buy you happiness. It's the people you love, your family, your friends, your relationships. And so I think this segment, we spent quite a bit of time talking about that and real foundational stuff you can do to apply to your business to improve the buy muscle. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Stephen Smotherman, whose last time he was on the show is over 2 years ago, episode number 4. But it's so worth going to listen to Stephen's story. You'll be inspired. And now you hear the new message. And it's not a different message. You know, there's not a new Stephen Smotherman. It's consistent, Stephen. You know, just sitting here listening to you and the few times we met in person, this has been consistent for years now. And I really applaud that because, you know, to be able to, A, make a full-time living for your whole family and do all the things that you wanted to do together as a family for this long tells me you're doing something right. And so I want to applaud you for that. So, but let's move forward with helping others maybe make choices. I mean, is that what happens? Is that where it starts? Are the choices that people are making, or the fundamentals, or the basics? Are they getting a shiny object, or is it all of the above?
Oh, wow. It's all the above. you know, but I mean, it does come down to a few key things. Obviously, the choices that we make are what's going to give us the results. And so, whether the choices that we make about what we put into our brain, whether it's the courses we take, the books we read, the blogs we read, the time on Facebook, the time on Twitter, time watching TV, what goes into our brain does impact our entire life. And so, you know, Rebecca and I have decided to focus on always trying to put things in our brain that will improve ourselves. And I was earlier today reading the show notes from episode 4 on the e-commerce momentum blog, and you had called me Mr. Foundation. And I was like, you know what, I really appreciated that. And because when you get started, and even if you're in the middle of things, you have a foundation that you built up. And, you know, if you build your foundation with cracks, then there's going to be things that go on down the road, maybe 6 months or a year down the road, that are because of the faulty foundation. And so you want to make sure you have the really good, strong foundation. And so 2 years ago, we were still building that foundation, and we've been able to build upon that foundation, and we've got a pretty solid first floor now. And so we're ready to start building a second floor, if you will, with that whole metaphor. But yeah, there's so many different things that go into it, whether it's the things that you put into your brain, or just your whole mindset. My wife and I both are really into mindset and just how powerful it is. And it's really helped our business a lot.
So let's start somebody, you know, they've gotten through the year so far. Maybe this is their first Q4 or their second Q4, and maybe last year's Q4, they didn't see the results. When you see others who are like, oh, I just sold another $100,000 in 3 days, you know, and they're sitting there saying, what am I doing wrong? I don't think they're doing anything wrong. I just don't think they have figured out their process and broke it down. So let's start there. So what's the advice you give to brand new people, or people in that scenario, not brand new sellers, but ones maybe this is their first or second Q4, and the first Q4 was just okay?
My biggest piece of advice is, so when it comes to building an Amazon business, the biggest decision that you make is, obviously, what am I buying to resell? So when you're buying something to resell, most Amazon sellers are making that decision based on only two pieces of information. And I believe that causes success.
But that's a mistake, right? That is a mistake.
It's definitely a mistake, because there's so much more that you need to calculate. And so I feel like when the average Amazon seller decides to buy something, they look at today's sales rank and today's prices.
Right. Today's buy box. So let's stop there a second, because I agree with you. I know right where you're going with this.
Yeah.
But I want to stop there because I think it's so important. Here's the reason, Stephen, though. If I can't get all the inventory I need, I just got to be able to go fast. I got to be able to scan, make a decision, and make boom and boom. I need more SKUs. I got to go deep. I mean, I got to go wide, not deep. Right? That's the advice everybody's always given me. I've got to go wide, not deep. I can't slow down to evaluate. I don't have the time. This darn computer, it tells me it's the right price, tells me it's the right rank. Boom, I'm good to go. That's what people have in their mind. And they're in that, I don't know if it's a scarcity mentality. They're just in that, I've got to hit 27 more stores today. So I got to go in, bang it out, and move on to the next one. I think that's the scenario most people are in when they're making those kind of decisions. And you're saying, wait a second, there's another way.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think when most people are doing that, and they're taught that, because a lot of people have the faulty assumption that selling on Amazon is easy. And so finding inventory should be easy. And easy equals quick decisions. And I find something and I either leave it on the shelf or put it in the cart. But
Well, there's no barrier to entry there. If it's easy, there's no barrier to entry, right? And I think that's the point.
Right. But when we're wanting to actually decide to succeed when it comes to long-term success, then our whole paradigm is totally shifted. And that foundation of just looking at today's sales rank and today's prices is uprooted. And it causes a little bit of discomfort. But if people spend maybe an extra 10 or 15 seconds per item to get a little bit more information, then everything changes, because they're able to source the right products. And so a lot of people, I get emails about this all the time. How many items do I need to have in my inventory to make a full-time income?
It could be one, right? If you have the right one, it could be one.
Exactly. It could be one if it's the right item. Because I'll tell you this, 3 years ago, actually about 2 years ago, I had about 3,000 items in my inventory, and we were making a full-time income selling, you know, through those 3,000 items. Fast forward 2 years, we're making more money and we've got about 500 or 600 items in our inventory. So how are we making more money by keeping less items in our inventory? It's because we're buying better products. It's because we're buying products with a higher average selling price. It's because we're buying products that sell very quickly instead of buying products that, you know, sit in an Amazon warehouse for months. I pay monthly storage fees. I pay long-term storage fees, or maybe I just, you know, take a loss and I'm having to deal with all this repricing and stuff, and it's just wasting my time. And so that's how it was with a 3,000 inventory item business. You know, I just was wasting a bunch of time because I was buying stuff. Man, it felt awesome to fill up a cart with lots of inventory. It felt awesome filling up a minivan with inventory. But you know what? Most of that stuff was the wrong inventory. I ended up, you know, not doing very well. But now we have much less items in our inventory, but they're selling faster. And then it's selling so fast, I don't think it'd be possible with my strategy to ramp up to even 1,000 again, because it's just sell so fast because of making the smarter sourcing decisions.
It's hard, though. I mean, I like the way you said this. Somebody thinks that Amazon's easy. We all hit those easy home runs, right? I mean, we've all, you know, walked into the store, right? What's right now the hot one? The shower cleaner, right? I see it. Everybody's buying them, right? Wherever they can find them. There are times you've walked into a store and there's a magic pallet. Sometimes there's a beam of light just happens to be shining over it, and they, oh, would you like a discount? Yeah, wait, right. Here's a double discount. That's happened to everyone. Try to get that to happen a second time or a third time to build a longevity. It doesn't, right?
Right.
So you've got to take those wins, right? I mean, whenever they happen, and celebrate them. However, it's not a sustainable business model. And you end up with, I mean, I think the thing that people fail to put in their math formula, you know, the returns and stuff like that, how many, you know, long-term storage fee people just got killed? And I see some numbers out there. I'm like, oh my God. But I was there, and I'm not holier than now. I don't want to pretend to be. I think the difference too is, and I know we're going to talk about a third thing to help make a decision, but also you do know what not to buy based on experience too. I don't want to downplay that. We can use some formulas and some other tools, there is, the longer you do this, you do learn things. And it just, it's worth saying that, because I don't want people to rely only on software. There are times you won't have software. The computer won't work, or your phone won't work. But you got to go back on your gut. But you've learned over time, right? I mean, 3 years, you know, 3 years gives you a lot of experience. I mean, think of all the thousands of things that you bought and the things that you won't buy again, right? There's some absolutes now. So I don't want to downplay that. However, in today's market, there is another way, right? There's, instead of just price, and instead of just does it say the rank? As you say, it's a rank for one day, just magically today, within the last hour, right? Or whatever it happens to be.
Right. Yeah, there is another way. You know, just to give you some interesting statistics, Amazon changes the prices of their products over 1 million times a day. And
what?
That's just Amazon's price change. They have an algorithm where they are changing their prices all the time. So for all their inventory that Amazon has in stock, they're changing their prices over 1 million times a day. And to give you some perspective, Walmart.com will change the prices of their stock about 20,000 times a month. And so there's just a little bit of perspective.
Well, there's a problem, right? I mean, that's why Walmart is doing what it's doing and why Amazon is doing what it's doing.
Right. And so with Amazon changing their prices that many times a day, third-party sellers, there's people with repricers manually repricing, an item sells, so the price changes to the next, you know, seller. Those prices are changing all the time. And then when you think about sales rank, Amazon updates sales rank on almost every item every hour. So sales rank is changing 24 times a day. So with prices changing every minute, sales rank changes every hour, why are we taking one little snapshot in time, looking on our phones or on our computer screens and saying like, oh, this has a sales rank of this and it has a ROI of this, and I'm going to make a decision based just on that? We need more information. I actually was sourcing, doing some wholesale sourcing earlier today, and I found an item that was in the home and kitchen category. It was ranked 400,000. And according to my sales rank chart, that's in the top 1% of the home and kitchen. And most people will say all day long, buy as many items that fall into the top 1% in any of the categories. Those are going to sell all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I took just a few extra seconds, and I'll tell you how in just a second. I was able to find out that earlier today, that item was ranked 7.2 million in the home and kitchen category.
Oh my God.
And simply because of one sale, it temporarily jumped all the way to 400,000. And now as the day has gone on, it's crept back up and it's, you know, no longer in the top 1%. But I would have bought something that just yesterday or just a couple hours ago was 7.2 million in the home and kitchen category, which is something that might sell once or twice a year if we're lucky.
So you just happen along it the day that it sold. And so make sure I'm clear on this. I could buy something in the morning. It could be ranked 10,000, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And later on in the day, I mean, maybe 100,000. Later on in the day, it could jump to 500,000, if not more, so, just because of the timing. It actually adjusts that often.
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah, it does. That's crazy to think about.
The biggest jumps are after a sale. And so it'll jump from a really high number to a low number. And that's when I discovered the tools of Camel, and Keepa, which both are free programs that you can use on your desktop, and there's many sourcing apps that link to both Camel, and Keepa, and they record the history of prices, of the lowest price of Amazon, the lowest price of a third party new, and the lowest price of a third party used, almost since the item was on Amazon. So they track the pricing and the sales rank history of almost every item on Amazon. And so you can go with a few little clicks and see the last 3 months, what was the pricing trends? What was the sales ranking trends? And you can make a much better decision because you can not just look at today's sales rank, but again, look at the history. And that's what I did this morning when I saw this item ranked 400,000. And that's how I found out that just a few hours ago, it was ranked 7.2 million because of, I looked on a Keepa graph and it showed me that sales rank jumped that high simply just because of one sale caused that to happen.
So obviously you didn't buy it, but you would have,
yes.
But you would have, and that's the problem, right? You would have, right, in the past. And you, take this lesson, 2 years later, there's a much more sophisticated. So you going from, 1,000 SKUs or whatever it was, a couple thousand SKUs mm-hmm. down to 600 or whatever, that's intentional by saying, nope, selling through or liquidating whatever, what you mm-hmm. did have and just not replacing it. Now I find myself exactly in the same position. I am much more selective about what I buy. Yes. Now, it does take more time.
Yes.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
However, it sells. saying it's knowing what not to buy is probably sometimes better than knowing what to buy, right? You say no, yes.
Yeah, I remember the old saying, and I can't remember who said this, but someone said, you make your money when you buy. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I make money when I sell and I get money back in my pocket. But it's true. You make the money, how you're earning your money is because of you're making the good buy decision. And so that's where the skill needs to come into play, where you need to be the best buyer. Anyone can sell, but you need to be the best buyer. And so
can that be taught though? Is that something that people can fine tune?
Or absolutely.
Is that what you're saying? Is that that's this, if you're going to go all in on something, become the best buyer because that's where the money is made. I get it when you say that.
That is the game changer that caused us to increase our profits with decreasing the number of items because, yes, there is a mental shift that you need to make when it comes to sourcing because you're gonna have to take a little more time sourcing the items. You don't fill up your cart as fast. You don't fill up your vehicle as fast when you're doing retail arbitrage. But the time saved, on the other hand, is also big because you're saving time not having to deal with repricing your inventory, not have to deal with trying to figure out what items do I remove for long-term storage fees,
right.
And then you have them shipped to your house, and you're like, okay, I have all this inventory that never sold. Do I garage sale this? I'm saving my time of a garage sale. All sorts of time savings on that perspective too.
And you get to, and I think this is to bring it back full circle, you can apply that time into your life and living yes. intentionally, into your health, into your mental health, into your relationships. To me, those are better investments than just buying stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. I got hooked on buying stuff like pretty much most everyone else did, right? Yeah, but there's also, it does get to a sickening part. There's a point sometime you will hit of almost like a saturation when it's like, eh, I don't feel like buying anything because quite frankly, it's not selling. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the, you know, if you connect the dots backwards, that's really what it causes. It's not, you're not getting the reward because you're not selling it. And so by fine tuning this, okay, so you are going to tell us how I can work on my buy muscle. I like it. I want to work yes. on my buy muscle.
Yeah, absolutely. I put together a course. It's called How to Keep a Camel. And it's not about how to keep camels. It's because of the two products. There's a product called Keepa, or excuse me, a program called Keepa and a program called Camel. And like I said before, they both store and save and track the pricing history and the sales rank history of almost every item on Amazon. And so if you go to howtokeepacamel.com, Keepa is spelled K-E-E-P-A. So howtokeepacamel.com, there's
clever.
A course that will walk you through exactly how to use the sales rank history in order to make smarter sourcing decisions. You can actually take the past history to be able to predict the future. I'm actually right now with Q4 coming right around the corner, I'm actually buying things right now that most people are passing on because today's sales rank and today's prices are not good enough to buy today. But I know because I've been able to look into the past, there are certain toys that I'm buying right now that the last 2 years, the sales ranks during Q4, phenomenal, and the prices have been selling for twice as much as they are right now. And so I'm able to make buying decisions for Q4 on things other people are passing on because I know that come late November, early December, I'm going to be able to get twice as much as for those items than they're selling for right now. So I'm able to buy that inventory based on the sales rank history and the pricing history that I see on Keepa and Camel.
Are there times too, because they're, you know, the rank is terrible, that you're able to get them at a better price too? I mean, does that happen?
It does happen sometimes where the rank is not, you know, very good, and so I'm able to get them for a much better price. And so since sometimes the rank is so bad on Amazon is because the sellers are pricing it too high, and so that's why no one's buying it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can see, oh, hey, this was actually selling really consistently when it was priced $20 lower, so I can use that sales history and the pricing history because I can compare the sales rank to when it was priced at a certain price, and I can be like, okay, if I just sell this for $20 or $10 cheaper,
boom. And well, there's what you said. There's the buy, right? You're back to that comment. If you buy right, so in your scenario is, hey, yeah, you can make $13 if it sells, but it won't sell at $13 or right. higher. You're going to have to sell it and make $3. However, you're going to sell a zillion of them. And so by knowing that, you go into it with that mindset. So you're not matching the buy box. You're pricing it to sell. And eventually it will take the buy box. Have you also been able to take advantage and have Rebecca source these things online for you if you see yes. something? Like, you know that this tape dispenser is going to be the hot kitchen item. Look at my desk. I always look around. I always quote my water glass, but that's going to be a hot item. And it just happens to be at liquid prices because right now it's a Christmas item. Right. And then boom, you could go take advantage of it, buy them all, sit on them, send them right back in and take advantage of them. Mm, love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Dude. All right. So how to keep a camel is a course on how to use the free tools. So there, and let's be clear, you don't have to take Stephen's course. You can go out and watch. You can go out and watch free YouTube videos, or read books, or read blog posts, Reddits, and all those things. I don't force anybody to do anything. But if you want to find a concise way to do it, that's what you pay for. As Harvey Specter always says, you buy time, right?
Right.
And so, understanding those little charts, because I use ScanPower, and ScanPower gives me the Keepa. I believe it's Keepa in there. Mm-hmm. And it actually shows me those things. But understanding how to read them is another subject.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different ways that you can look at a camel graph or a Keepa graph to be able to just squeeze out the information that's going to be able to be used to make you more profits, to be able to make you buy items that sell much faster. And so I put together the course. It's about a 4.5 hour video course and combination ebook. So if you prefer reading a book, you have all the material in the book, or if you prefer the video course, all the same materials in the video. So no matter how you like to learn, there's something for you on both ends. And so we talk about, you know, how to deal with seasonal sourcing, seasonal pricing, how to price so that you can get the most for your money. We talk about how to know when and if to compete with Amazon, because there's definitely times using Keepa that you can compete against Amazon as a competitor and win, and all sorts of other different types of strategies. And Stephen, I got something special just for your listeners. If you go to howtokeepacamel.com and enter the coupon code MOMENTUM, then you can save $20 off of the cost of the course. This is the biggest coupon code that I have out there right now.
And I appreciate that. It's one of the things I try to ask up front. The whole course, I mean, so let's give it perspective. It's $97.
Yes.
That's it. It's $97. And you're going to give me all that detail. And so I can then learn how, I mean, again, we're working on that buy muscle, right? By fine tuning the buy muscle. But then you're going to give, if you use the code MOMENTUM, you're going to give $20 off that cost. I appreciate that. So now it's $77 and you get it. The key is to take advantage of it now and figure it out. While you, if you're not using these tools, you need to learn how to use them. But again, you can do it for free. Go watch some YouTube videos. However, if you want concise information, go look at, well, and I'll point people to fulltimefba.com. You want to understand how much detail Stephen and his wife, right? Because she's involved in this too.
Yes.
The details that you do on a blog post, the level of understanding that you give. I was just looking through some reviews for Inventory Lab and different ones. I mean, very specific. And so you do the same thing on this course. Again, it's a buy muscle issue, right? So you're trying to get people to sharpen the buy muscle, because ultimately that's the thing. So who is it? Greg Purdy was telling me he was at 18,000 SKUs not that long ago. Mm-hmm. He was down to several thousand. And he said, it's almost like a relief, you know, getting rid of that mm-hmm. stuff, because it's not like it's selling. And it's just, it's when you're looking at a list, it's always in the way, right? It's always in the way. So by getting better at buying, how long will it take people to cycle through inventory? I mean, how long did it take you to get from that that several thousand down to 600?
I think it probably took about 6 months because of how the long-term storage fees are set up. And so when long-term storage fees came around, you know, it was do or die time. You know, you decide whether or not you're willing to pay the long-term storage fee and keep it at Amazon, or remove it to not have to deal with the long-term storage fee, or just, you know, price it so that you can get rid of it to sell. And so it was really about 6 months or so just to be able to weed down that inventory. And you were talking about the buying muscle. I just was thinking about, you know, there is a right and a wrong way to work out your physical muscles at the gym. So if you're working out your physical muscles, you can go to the gym and do it yourself, and you might do okay. But you also might do it in a way that's going to cause you to pull a muscle and get hurt. But there's also a personal trainer that you can hire that can show you to do it the right way. And once you do that, then after the personal trainer shows you, you can almost just continue on your own to be able to stay the course and be successful with it.
You know, as I was thinking about long-term storage fees, this course would prevent people. There are probably some items that they pulled back not knowing that in 2 months, they're going to be able to get double the price, and they probably should have kept it in there, right? And that, again, that's the lessons that you learn.
Right. Yeah, they might be pulling their inventory to save on a $3 long-term storage fee when the item is going to be, you know, $20 more come December.
And right now you can't send it back in, right? Sometimes. Right. And I don't know whether that rule's hard and fast. I know some people were able to get around it or whatever. But why take the chance? So for $97, you can learn all those little graphs. You can finally learn to understand them and all those little dips. And hence the reason camel with the humps, right? Trying to understand that. You actually explain all that and help people get down to detail. Yes. Okay. $20 off if they use the code MOMENTUM. So it's how to keep Keepa camel Com. I love the name. It's clever. It's hard to say, but it's very clever. And if you use the code, there's a coupon code in there. You just put in Momentum. You're going to save $20 off. Dude, that is awesome. I appreciate it so much. I really, as I sit back and I think about where you've come from, 5 years full time, the last 2 years have really, you know, you fine tuned. Your why has stayed consistent. So that's the coolest thing. But you've really figured out how to adjust without affecting the why. I think that's really the lesson here. What's next? Where are you going next?
The place that we're going to be going next is really something that my wife and I, we've talked about. We're trying to do what we can to remove as much of ourselves from our business as possible. And so if there's something that can be outsourced, that someone else can do it, then we want to try to be able to get to that point where we can oversee things and make sure that things are running smoothly, but everything is outsourced. And so, last year we hired someone to come into our house and process our inventory. This year we have all of our inventory processed at a prep center. And so it's slowly and gradually we are taking a step back and finding new ways to outsource, just so, again, we're still able to have that income come in, but we're spending even less time doing it, but still finding that growth and that success for the long term.
Love it. Dude, man, I wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much. If somebody has a follow-up question, let's just talk about your blog post again. It's fulltimefba.com, fulltimefba.com. How many blog posts have you put out there? Do you know?
I think we've eclipsed over 200 blog posts, and so they're all how-to tips and tricks, videos, walkthroughs.
Tutorials. I mean, there's everything. Yeah, you're a full tutorial on everything. I'm looking at Joe Lister reviews. I'm looking at, you know, name a product. He's reviewed it. Scoutify. I'm scanning down through. Poshmark. Love that. Ooh, I'm interested to read. Oh, man, I got to read that now, too. Dude, I wish you nothing but success. So the best way to get you then would be, can I put your Facebook contact or...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can search for me, Stephen Smotherman, and there's a couple of us out in the world. I didn't know that until Facebook, that there are actually three or four other Stephen Smothermans, but I'm the one that says he's a blogger at fulltimefba.com, so that will weed everyone else out and help you find me.
I will have that link in there, too. Dude, I wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much.
Thank you much, Stephen. I appreciate your time hanging out.
A great story. He's such a great guy. I mean, he really is. Think about that. $97 for the cost of the course, and you get $20 off. So I don't think you can ask for much more than that. And he's going to spend all those hours talking to you and helping you understand Keepa and Camel, maybe in ways you didn't know before. We've all used it, but have you used it all the way? Have you used everything that it offers? Have you kept up with it? I haven't, so I can't wait to get into the course myself, and reach out to me when you get done with it to see if you got value. I'm going to be interested because I'll be done with it by then too, and we can compare notes. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Don't forget to use that code Momentum to get the $20 off. Love saving you money. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.